Good morning, church. It is good to see you today. And so many smiles on everyone's faces. Let's stand, let's open up. Father, we thank you that we can be here in church today. And Father, is with an expectation today, Father, that we're going to sing, praise you, give you glory. And that's not going to just be a one-sided thing, but you're going to return it to us and meet us here with your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, as we're going to just show forth the praises that are in our hearts, our souls, Father, we just thank you for an awesome time of worship today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. My God, in Him will I trust. My God, in Him will I trust.
Amen.
I want to magnify the name of the Lord, His name I'll praise. For He has been so good and so kind to me all of my days. When I was lost in darkness, He heard my plea and rescued me. Now I'll serve Him all of my life till His fame I see. I want to magnify the name of the Lord, His name I'll praise. For He has been so good and so kind to me all of my days. When I was lost in darkness, He heard my plea and rescued me. Now I'll serve Him all of my life till His face I see. I want to magnify the name of the Lord, His name I'll praise. For He has been so good and so kind to me all of my days. When I was lost in darkness, He heard my plea and rescued me. Now I'll serve Him all of my life till His face I see. I want to magnify the name of the Lord, His name I'll praise. For He has been so good and so kind to me all of my days. When I was lost in darkness, He heard my plea and rescued me. Now I'll serve Him all of my life till His face I see. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is a pathway of blessing for Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call. Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, bringing the weary find rest in Him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Established in our praises, as your people declare your mighty words. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Father of mercy, be exalted. May Jesus' name be lifted up. For the sacrifice of love has won my pardon, and the resurrection power gives me life. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, wasn't, is, and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who wasn't, is, and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore, who reigns forevermore, who reigns forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.
He has shown thee,
He has shown thee,
O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. He has shown thee,
He has shown thee,
O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. He has shown thee,
He has shown thee,
has shown thee,
He has shown thee,
O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. He has shown thee,
He has shown thee,
O man, what is good and what the Lord
Lord requires of thee.
He has shown thee.
He has shown thee.
But to do justly,
but to do justly,
and to love mercy,
and to love mercy,
and walk humbly with thy God.
Hallelujah.
Micah 6:8.
Christ is worthy, He alone is worthy of all praise. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. I love Him, adore Him, yes I do. For He alone is worthy, Jesus Christ is worthy. He alone is worthy of all praise. For you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy of all praise. For you alone are worthy. Jesus Christ, you're worthy. You alone are worthy of all praise. You are the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. I love you, adore you, yes I do. For you alone are worthy, Jesus Christ, you're worthy. You alone are worthy of all praise. For you alone are worthy, you alone are worthy. Jesus Christ, you're worthy. You alone are worthy of all praise. You are the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. I love you, adore you, yes I do. For you alone are worthy. Jesus Christ, you're worthy. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust a sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking
sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen.
You know, here on earth there are people that we look up to. We constantly measure ourselves to other people. And we've all had that experience of where you're in the presence of someone and you don't necessarily feel that you measure up to them somehow. And somehow, you know, you feel you're lacking. And someday, we're going to stand in front of Jesus.
Amen.
And we're not going to feel that way. Because we know, like the song says in verse 4, that we're dressed in his righteousness. He has put his white garments on us. And that's what makes us worthy to stand in front of him, to be able to say, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. I've been bought with a price, dressed in his righteousness. And we won't feel, you know, just low. But we will say, I belong here. Right. I am a child of the King.
But thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Safely on to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Touched me, oh, he touched. touch me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know Jesus touched me and made me whole. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know Jesus touched me and made me whole.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to read a little scripture here, if I can find it. This is 1 Corinthians 14:26. It says, "How is it then, brethren," that means the believers, "when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." And so I think that I'm going to speak in that category now. And I feel led to speak about worship, because we just had a wonderful worship service. But there are some wonderful things about worship that if we dig in the Bible, we can find what a glorious thing. God is not an egomaniac up there saying, "Worship me." He's not like a human. If a human did that, it would be very, very, very disgusting. But God is worthy of our worship. And there are so many benefits to his people when they worship. And the biggest one is that's how we enter into his presence. We enter into his presence through worship. That is the way to do it. And in his presence there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's Psalm something. And so we know that this is how to get fullness of joy. And there's no other way except in his presence. And so we want to be in his presence. And so we want to do everything we can to be free to worship. And there are many hindrances that we need to deal with sometimes. In fact, on a daily basis. And one of them is fear. Fear is a big block. It blocks everything that the Lord wants to do. It's the opposite of faith. And you cannot enter into God's presence with an ungodly fear. The only kind of fear we can have is fear of God. And that's a reverence. It's different than a fear of bad things happening. And it's the fear of God is when you focus on God and you know his holiness and your unworthiness. And so that's the kind of fear that you have. But there are other hindrances too. Worry. If you're worried about something that you haven't turned over to the Lord, that's going to hinder your relationship with the Lord. So you need to drop it right away. You need to ask the Lord and tell him about it and then dismiss it. And then there are other things that hinder worship, and that is in the area of relationships. If we have anything against anyone, which we know that happens, and we need to deal with it right away, faster than lightning. And the wonderful thing about that is that if we're having trouble with someone, we tell the Lord we're sorry and we confess it. And then he will give us his love. We can draw on his love when we run out of our love. We can draw on his patience when we run out of our patience. So we really don't have any excuse for not loving everyone beautifully. And so all of our relationships, if there's any friction at all, that needs to be taken care of so that we can enter into the presence of the Lord. And so I'm praising the Lord that we have worship in our body.
Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this day. And I ask you right now, Lord, have it your way. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, help me to pray. I want to thank you that you are in control. You are the overall judge. You are presiding over the whole world. And no matter what's going on, you got the answers. And you have the solutions. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that in the midst of the storm, eyes will not be on the storm. Eyes will be upon Jesus. We're going to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finish of our faith. We're going to look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. For our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And we want to thank you and praise you for victory in this body of believers. And we bless you, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We love you. We exalt you, Lord, above the heavens. And we realize, O Lord, that you are the only source. You are the provider, Jehovah Jireh. You are the God that shall supply all our needs. You are the God that will never fail us. All you expect to walk in obedience, to walk uprightly, and give to the work of the Lord. And we thank you and praise you, Father, for this message that the pastor brought us to educate us and know where we stand. But we know one thing. We have security in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are victorious, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And greater is he that he is within us than he that's in the world, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we appreciate you. We thank you. And Lord, as you are ready to receive this offering, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the people that have given, and the people are giving, and the people that are thinking of giving, all around the world, this congregation and our other congregation. And we want to thank you, thank each and every one of you for giving to this ministry. We appreciate you, we love you, and if there is any need, call us, write to us, and God is going to meet the need in the name of Jesus. So every man, as they purpose in their hearts, let them give today. Not grudgingly, not of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for being our provider, for being our source, for being our security, for being our keeper and the shade on our right hand. And we love you, Lord, and we want to give to the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray, O Lord, as the pastor will bring the message to us for the anointing upon him. Give him the freedom to preach. Let the word come out with power and touch each and every one of us. Spirit of the living God, we ask you today, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh upon the pastor, fall afresh upon each and every person today. Let us receive what the Lord has for us. Oh, move in the midst of us. We want to have and we want to ask all that you have to offer. We want every gift to operate in this body of believers, in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be idle. We want to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, in the name of Jesus. We want to spread the good news of the gospel to every nation, in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for touching everyone that gives a testimony today. Anoint them mightily, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, we want to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. In this prayer we pray, in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. And all God's children said, Amen.
At this time, the people at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church are giving their tithes and offerings as part of the worship service. You too can participate even if you're not physically with us by writing out a check and mailing it, or using the donation link at the bottom of the homepage. Please remember that God uses His people to finance His work on this earth. God gives us the ability to work and make money, and in return asks that His people give back a tenth. Thank you for being obedient and being part of our service.
Raising my hands to you, chance you've given me to live a life of praise to you. Lord, I'm so thankful for the faithfulness you've shown to me, and for your loving care, and that you're always there. Lord, I raise my hands to you, raising my hands to you, overwhelmed with gratitude for the chance you've given me to live a life of praise to you. For I'm so shown to me, and for your loving care, and that you're always there. Lord, I raise my hands to you.
Well, this is time for a prayer time, and we got a number of requests that have come in to us. Let me start with a prayer request here from Sweden, and I will give this to the satirist. Not right now. I'm just going to give it to you eventually, okay? And this is written in Swedish, so you should do really good. A Greek, you know, they know how to read Swedish, right? It says here, she had put this article, Demise of the U.S. Economy, on her blog. And she said, I want you and your wife to pray for me, that now when I have finally decided to stop smoking, now this lady's about 70 years old plus. Earlier, I simply thought that since I'm so old, it doesn't matter if I smoke or not. But then I sat down and figured out what it cost me to smoke. And I came to the conclusion that it is stupid to let so much money go up in smoke. So we're going to pray for this lady that she be able to stop smoking. So that'll be your assignment, okay? So you remember that now, because you can't read it. You remember that now? How many fingers? Okay. This is a request here from, it's sent into our email here. And there's a man by the name of Jeff Johnson has taken a bad turn. He's sick. Gangrene is spreading through his extremities due to the tremendous and lengthy loss of circulation in his legs caused by a major blood clot in a lower abdomen. Would you please pray that God will heal him and raise him up again? So we want to pray for this man. His name is Jeff. We're going to pray for Jeff. As the financial market continued to roar this week, the price of oil dropped to $82.26 per barrel. And this is the weekly decline of 3.2 cents per barrel. So, you know, they just doing this to us. So we want to pray here today, as I spoke earlier today, that pray that the world government itself will go into confusion, that the banksters will simply get, you know, insanity, and that they will be unable to manipulate the market. That's what we want to pray for. This is a request from Ina's cousin, Arne Strim from Sweden. He requested prayer for his eyes. In a phone call Saturday, he stated that extra fluid is building up in his eyes, and when he wakes up in the morning, he feels like someone has put sand into his eyes. He's scheduled for an eye exam this coming Monday, August the 22nd. And he's a tremendous musician. He was with us in many of our crusades, and so we really love him and his wife. I already shared the sermon about Reggie Shin, so we're going to pray for him that God would heal him and bring him back to us. And then we have a request here for Teresa DiCarlo. She's home but ill with a very bad cold, so we're going to pray for Teresa. So can you pray for Teresa? I don't have a slip for her. Teresa got a cold. We need to kill that cold. You ready to kill the cold? You got it. Okay. And this is from Michelle Gilman in South San Francisco. She's going to Seattle where her relatives are and requests prayer for strength in dealing with family emotions. She also has a praise report. She has been asking God for a computer for a long time, and her cousin just offered her a Mac G4, whatever that is, which makes Michelle very happy. I know that's a Macintosh, but so anyway, that's a praise report and a prayer request. So those of you that would like to come up and pray, this is the time to come, right now.
Father God, we want to lift up Reggie to you, and we thank you, Father, for preserving his life and keeping him with us, Lord. We thank you for speedy recovery for him, and that he would really take time and zero in on his Bible as he's laid up there in the hospital, Lord. And we thank you for giving him revelation and showing him what you have for him. And we thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God for having an opportunity to pray for some of our relatives. And praise the Lord, Arne. As you hear this thing, I will be praying for you. And I remember when I was going blind how I felt, so I have compassion for eyes. And when we all have some problems in our lives, there is only one way to go, and it's to God. Dear Heavenly Father, I reach my hands up to your throne room right now. And I thank you, my Heavenly Father, for touching Arne right now where he is. There is no distance with you, God. And I praise you, God. And I pray, God, that you lift him up to higher places right now. And his wife as well. And I thank you, my Heavenly Father, that you will give him a revelation to know what he needs to know at this situation in his life. And I thank you, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you never change. Tack, kära gode Gud, att du griper in Arnes life, in his liv, rätt nu, God. Jag tackar dig, min kära himmelske Fader, att du griper in på ett mäktigt sätt, rätt nu, i denna stund, när jag beder, Gud, att du blir med, att du blir med honom på ett mäktigt sätt, och hans fru. Och jag lovar och jag prisar dig ett nu, Jesus, att det är inga avstånd med dig, Jesus. Du är densamma idag, igår och i all evighet. Och du sviker oss inte i våra svåra stunder, men då är du som närmast till oss. Jag tackar och lovar dig att vi ska få höra goda nyheter, vad som har hänt i deras liv. I Jesu namn. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for the service today. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing throughout the ministry and how you're dealing with the issues of the oil crisis. The prices of oil are dropping down. And Lord God, we know that this is your handiwork. At least I'm going to receive it as your handiwork, Lord. And you're sending confusion amongst the people that are in charge. And Lord God, I praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for confusion over the one world government, that they will lose it and not get the upper hand in the world and not have the upper hand over trying to suppress nations, Lord God. And Lord, I just thank you, praise you, and worship you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I bring this lady to you before you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. At first, I command the spirit of nicotine to loose that woman. False spirit of nicotine, get out of this woman's life once and for all and be bound, chained, into prison by God's holy angels. Father, we ask you right now, first of all, let this lady know she's not doing to save money only. She's doing it to be obedient to the Lord, not to use anything, any substances which is not of God, which are not of God. And let her do it for the Lord, not for the money, not for anything else, but let her do it for the Lord. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Praise you, Lord. And we ask you right now, whatever it takes, O Lord, that this woman will be delivered from that nicotine and will have no more need for the nicotine, let it be done, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. O Lord, sometimes you use means that when she will try to smoke a cigarette, coughing started one thing after the other. And Lord, you know all the means. You know how to get people's attention. You know how to make them hate that nicotine and that cigarette. Amen. And we pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, let it be done your way. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. We want to see that Swedish woman be set free once and for all from nicotine. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
And Father God, we lift up Sister DiCarlo to you. Teresa DiCarlo, I know her name. And we thank you and praise you. She's one of the happiest women in this church. She's always got a smile on her face. Sometimes she comes in and she sits and she reads the word instead of yakking. But many times people are talking with her because she's so friendly. And we just thank you and praise you for her presence here. And right now, we take authority and dominion over all the demons and devils that are giving her the cold. And we bind, chain, and gag anything coming against her with that cold. And pray your holy angels will capture and destroy those spirits and cast them into outer darkness until they go to the lake of fire. And any liars that try to follow behind, any dregs or taproots that still try to build that stronghold over her with a cold. We thank you and praise you, Father God, for Brother Joe to go home and cook her some chicken soup and get her well. But it's you that gets her well. But we thank you and praise you, Father God. She's a happy woman. She loves her marriage. And we're thankful for everything that you're doing in their lives, even when she comes in and the business that she's in has gone haywire. She's still smiling. And we thank you for that. That's you and her heart. And we thank you for healing her right now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Father God, we want to lift up Jeff Johnson to you. He has gangrene. Father God, you never made us to be sick. Father God, you don't want your people to be sick. We're meant to praise you, Father God. Right now, all of us here, we bind and chain and take dominion over any sickness, the gangrene, any spirits, devils, and demons, and we cast them into prison by your holy angels, Father God. And Father God, we pray healing for this man. Show him a miracle. Show him your love, Father God. Show him that you care. And Father God, we thank you for victory over this matter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, I thank you that I could be here today. I thank you for the wonderful message we received. Help us to receive it to our hearts, not as a criticism, but as inspiration and helping us to be what you want us to be. Father God, I lift up Michelle Gilman and her husband to you now. Michelle has asked us for prayer because she's going to relatives that some of them probably are not saved. Maybe none of them are. And it could be very, very difficult in some ways. But Father God,
I pray that your Holy Spirit will go with her, that your Holy Spirit will anoint her, that she will be able to witness for you and bring some of them into the kingdom, or all of them. Father God, I thank you for giving her stamina, for giving her understanding. Help her to deal with whatever is there in a godly way, in the way you want us to deal with people, Lord. And Father God, I ask you to give her strength, keep the word fresh in her mind so that she can use it when it's needed, because your word speaks to everything at some point in time. There is a word for everything. So Father, I pray that she will be strengthened physically, that she will not be depleted and weakened, but she will be strong, and especially strong in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, praise you right now, that these prayers are now on the altar. The smoke is coming up before you. And I want to lift up John to your Father God from Sweden, as he is preparing for his deliverance. And I thank you, Father God, for ministering to him right now. Let your Holy Spirit just saturate him right now and break all fetters, and let the love of God just saturate him. And we also pray for Eric, Father God, that you continue to heal him, Father God, and give him joy unspeakable. And we thank you for that. We thank you right now, Father God, for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. It is with great joy that I want to introduce our elder back from vacation, Thomas Floyd Burns.
That's my name.
That's your name.
That's a great announcement. Okay, so we're taking testimonies at this time. Any testimonies? Okay, Bob, come on.
Hi, everyone. I'm trying to work this into a testimony. My first testimony is I'm so thrilled that I was here today for today's service. I wondered what John meant when he sent out a notice. I noticed that his sermon felt flat last week. I didn't think so. But obviously, God spoke to him and gave him the right answers. I wonder why this is happening. Well, I am emotional. Yesterday, I lost another friend. And that's going to be part of my testimony, too. A long time ago, in the 60s, about 8 or 9 of us joined together as friends like that, like a phalanx, if you know what that is. And at first, we fought only the secular war, and we were quite successful at that. The cost was very high in terms of money, emotions, loss of friends, and so forth. But one by one, as a result of a guy named Bob Jones, not the same one, started a Bible study for us in about 1964, Val Devajon's house, Dr. Devajon. And out of that came a new effort on the part of each of us, and that effort was to understand what it meant to be a Christian and to get over some of the rage and anger that we had. That took a while, quite a while. But out of that, I find it very interesting, and this is my testimony. Val, whose house we began in, who was one of the finest medical doctors ever, OBGYN, a dedicated man, who gave his Christian service instead of golf on Wednesdays. He did obstetrical help and surgery for women who had no money. And but eventually Val started a little church, Palos Verdes Bible Church. And I went there for a while before I moved out of Southern California. Jack, who was one of our stalwarts, the brightest man I've ever known, more degrees than I could count, and yet he was on the battle line with us every night. And he wasn't as physically tough as we were, but he put his money where his mouth was. He was Jewish, and as soon as we had the Bible study, it really upset Jack, because he wanted to get out and do damage to the communists. And finally, he came one night and said, before you say anything, I got a testimony. And his testimony came from a scientific standpoint, because he had said, I'm going to see what the Bible's all about with this. There's an extra day, you know, when God stopped the sun and things like that. And he ran them through the supercomputers and things like that, and he concluded that indeed there was a missing day and so forth. So from there he studied well, and he came up and confessed and became a Christian that night at that Bible study. So that was the first real convert. Jack went on to become a very, very effective Christian. Lost Jack a long time ago, decades before his time. The next one was a big guy named Jacob Kudovitsky, or J. Kud, we call him, an unusual Jew in that he's been in the Marines, and was a really liberal at first. So they assigned me a job of turning him around, and it worked. And not only did that work to turn him around for truth, but he became a Christian, confessed Christ, was baptized, and went on to be a very effective Christian until we lost him decades before his time. So that's two. And Val started the church. Jack became a Christian. Jay became a Christian. We all became Christians to the extent that we understood it fully at the time. And then along came Bob Radford. Bob and the rest of us were instrumental in saving the world from the attempt to destroy all supplements back in 1972, when the New World Order set a 10-year period to destroy all health food stores and everything. And they started it by arresting another Christian, Dr. John Richardson, Marine, dedicated, yes, that too, and decorated Marine from Korea, an officer. And so they picked the wrong guy there too, because the Christians and the John Birch Society and others fell in behind it, and we defeated that for a long, long time. Now it's really coming down on us now. So Bradford became an inventor of a number of things to help people get well, diagnostic tools and so forth. As a result, Bob was hounded for the last several years, threatened with jail, and it was looking like it was going to happen. They took away all of the microscope sales and everything, and left their business just down like that. But he did become a Christian. He always, like the rest of us, thought he was, because he went to Sunday school. And I talked to Carol yesterday, try to get through this, and found out that we lost Bob just a few days ago. But he knew where he was going. And there's a man that's helped thousands and thousands of people back to health over the years and was hounded mercilessly. And he went to be with God. And Carol said, no, it was a good thing. He knew where he was going. He was baptized when he was young, and we thought that out. And so I set him in the chair and watched the sun go down, and he went right here. So my testimony, I guess, is without the power of God and knowing where we're going, to watch steadfastly as friend after friend after friend who were tough, vigorous fighters alongside of me, to see them go decades before their time was hard to accept for a long time. But each one in their own way left a legacy. I left out Maureen, for that matter. She left a legacy of helping millions of people through her television show and her Christian work as well. So I'm able to handle this as a result of what's been finally embedded into me, the peace that passes understanding. And so in that line, I thank Pastor Terrell for the message today, because I remember at one time in our seeking the Lord, we did attend a church. And let's remember, Diane, we used to get there early and come up here and pray, and we had music, and we sang, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed that the Holy Spirit would be there. And it was when we did that. So I used to say that when Dora and I did the music many years ago. We used to pray that someday, you know, people will get here early and they'll come up front and they'll feel the way we do about worship and music. And I hope that happens. I thank you for the sermon today, John. It was needed. And I just hope the whole world hears it. So I'd just like to ask for prayer after we leave. It didn't come up. My son, Adam, is very ill. He has diabetes. And this is going to the world, so I won't tell what happened to him when he was a child, but you can imagine a babysitter. And as a result, both sons of mine have had a crushing, terrible life. The other son, we don't even know where he is. It's 5 years now since we've heard from Daniel, who was at one time a stalwart Christian minister. He just gave his life to God, and something snapped. So you can imagine, I deal with these things along with everything else. I've got two sons, one missing, and one said, if you want to see me alive, you better hurry and get down here. So if you can add that to your prayer list, I'd like you to pray for Adam, because you can imagine how I feel. We no longer have the capital to run down to Los Angeles and spend thousands of dollars and help him if it's possible. All I've been doing is telling him forgiveness, 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 Adam. And so I would ask you to pray along with me that Adam would finally see that the bitterness and anger he's felt over this has to be ended, and the forgiveness. And so that is my testimony. Thank you.
Okay, Irene.
Good morning. I just have to pray right now. Holy Spirit, we just ask you for faith. You have been dealing with my heart about faith, your faith, God's faith. And I just want to share, and I ask that the truth of your word will be embedded in our heart and in our spirit by your faith. And I ask you this, Father, in Jesus' name. Pastor has been teaching on faith from Hebrews 11, and I know this is going to continue. But in the first chapter of Hebrews 11, it says that faith is now the evidence of things that we are praying for and hoping, basically hoping for. And of course, one of my favorite scriptures was in that Mark 11, 23 and 24, that says, when you pray, and therefore I say to you, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And I know we heard that, and I heard it, and of course the forgiveness of others and the repentance and the conscience that is clear before God as we walk in the light that we have, right? Because as the word of God says, we'll walk in the light as we have, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. So he revealed to us more and more of the truth of his word and his light. But in that scripture, it says, when you pray, believe that you receive it. I was just thinking, Lord, to really believe, help me my unbelief. And the Lord showed me that there's a gift of faith that we can pray for, which is the faith of the Son of God who loves us and give himself for us. And that believing when you pray doesn't have anything to do with the seeing the result of that prayer, but we believe that God heard us at that moment, because of course we pray according to his will in the word. We would not pray something that he said, you know, is wrong. But believe that you pray, well, you receive that what you pray for at that moment. And then you will have it. Now, once you believe, you don't think anymore about, oh, I have to look if that is here or if I get that. That now is by faith in the hand of God. And I receive what I believe. I'm not going to let it go because of anything or anybody. I'm going to hold on that and know that as long as I have that faith in that God heard me and he said I shall have it, nothing will stop me from letting go of that. And that can be on healing, of course, and that can be on any other prayer that we pray believing that we receive. And I just wanted to share that with you because I believe that faith in God is what Jesus said even that moment to the disciples when they were knowing all the miracles, they were seeing everything, and then when they saw the fig tree being withered, they said, oh, look what happened. The fig really dried out from the roots. And he looked at them and said, have faith in God. So there is something about our own faith, our thinking about what we are picking, if God is doing what he said, or just have faith in God and his word. And he said, believe that you receive it when you pray. And I just wanted to share that because I need to do a lot of that myself. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, Joe.
Well, last Saturday, I had been sitting reading, and I read this little update that comes in the mail from K-House Ministries. And it keeps me abreast of some of the things that are going on that aren't covered in our mainstream media. As we all know, they don't always give us a straight scoop. In fact, most of the time they're fully biased and against giving us a straight scoop. But I was reading that, and I got a knock at the door, so I look outside, see who it is, and it's a car I don't recognize. I thought, this might be my local... So I said really quickly a prayer, Father, if this is Jehovah's Witnesses, I just pray that you'll give me the words to say and the insights in the scripture to plant the seeds that might pierce that veil of darkness that they're caught up in. Because I don't know how many of you know very much about the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, but it is one of those cults that have arisen in the United States. In fact, it's the second largest cult originating in the United States today. And I don't say that to be derogatory, but to be accurate. A cult is an organization that rises up around some teacher who's very charismatic and gets a following going. This is, in this case, Charles Taze Russell and Judge Rutherford, who carried that baton from the New Dawn Bible students forward into being the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society that it is today. And they have a heresy going that is kind of a resurrection of the Arian heresy of the second or third century. But anyway, I went to the door, and they always start off with some talking points, and they'll have their, you know, latest talking point going, and I decided to start the conversation. She looked at what I had in my hand, and I guess she lit up because she thought it was a Watchtower publication. And I said, oh, this is the update from K-House Ministry. She goes, oh, and her eyes dropped a little bit. And I says, they're talking of all things about something that when I first turned to Jesus back in the 80s, I was saved in 1981. I always thought that as soon as you start seeing the groundbreaking for the temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, that was when you should start looking up because your redemption draweth nigh. You know, this was going to be a big part of the end times. And sure enough, it's turning out that over there are special looms right now which are weaving the linen for the priestly vestments. Scientists are scanning the world for the correct marine snails to yield the Levitical blue and royal purple dyes for the garments. Several hundred young men are training in the yeshivas, which are special schools over there, to serve as priests. And all of them, of course, have to be of the Levitical genetic line. And they're determining their genealogies to make sure that they qualify. And I told her that's what I was reading about. She didn't take that particular lead. She says, well, let me point you to Psalm 83. And she turned to Psalm 83 and she says, this is the name of God. It's Jehovah. And I said, yes, by convention we call our God Jehovah. And I sing songs to that effect. You know, and have his name in the songs as such. But really, the 22 character alphabet of the Hebrews had no vowels, and therefore we have the psalmist saying Jah, which gives us the J in the beginning and the AH at the end, and we know the tetragrammaton is JHVH, but it can also be Yahweh, which is YHVH. We can also call him El Shaddai or Adonai or Elohim or any one of a number of names, and she's just like that. So she got off to the second talking point, and this is the one they're hammering nowadays. If you have one come to your door, they're going to be talking about, what is the kingdom? Somebody just said, the kingdom. And that's exactly what they want to get you into, is their macheted path of how they are. They go to kingdom halls, and they believe that the kingdom is going to be something that will happen when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all come back, and probably Judge Rutherford and Charles Taze Russell will be at their sides. And they're going to come back and set up this kingdom wherein all of Christendom, whether you're Catholic or Protestant, whether you're Jew or Buddhist or Hindu, those people will all be destroyed. And only the Jehovah's Witnesses will be left standing. And that kingdom will be where they will be the gardeners here on the earth. And somehow that's how they have it all laid out according to what they believe Scripture says. Well, I said, well, you know, when you say kingdom, I think of Nebuchadnezzar. And I didn't know the Holy Spirit was leading me here. I just started off, I said, I think of Nebuchadnezzar being the head of gold, and then the breastplate of silver was the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Greeks were the gold torso, and then the Roman Empire was the legs and she's going, and I says, and then the feet are the miry clay mixed with iron, which are an end times 10 nation confederacy that this mountain from, you know, somewhere unformed by hand strikes the feet and destroys the entire image. She just blinked and looked at me, and she pulled out a piece of paper, and it had that very statue on it. She said, we're having a get together, I forget what she called it, a convention of some sort at the Sacramento Convention Center in late August, and the details are here, and I'd like to invite you to come. I said, oh, I could never attend something like that the Watchtower put on. She said, well, why not? You seem very knowledgeable about the Bible. I says, well, I could never attend it because they differ so, they're so opposite to what I understand Christology to consist of. And she went, what's Christology? And I thought to myself, exactly. And I said, it's the study of the nature, person, and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And she says, oh, well, then you believe that he's the same as God the Father. I said, I believe that he's who he said he is. And when I see in Isaiah 44:6, thus saith the Lord, King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God, I immediately think of Revelation 1:17, where it says, and when I saw him, Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead, and he lay his right hand upon me and said to me, fear not, I am the first and I am the last. Now, if you say that Jehovah, I tell her, is the God of the Old Testament, he's the first and the last. And Jesus Christ himself says that he is the first and he is the last. You'd have to be committing linguistic suicide to say that the two are different. There aren't two firsts and two lasts. Well, they'll tell you, he never received the worship of men. Well, where does your mind go as a Christian when you think of Jesus Christ not receiving the worship of men? You think of Thomas, the second encounter in the upper room, where he falls to his knees after Jesus says, put your finger into my hand, your hand into my side. Be not unbelieving, Thomas, believe. And Thomas said what? He said, my Lord and my God, in the Greek, ho kurios mu, ho theos mu. You know, this is the definite article before kurios, and it's a definite article before theos, an argument that the Watchtower for years said, if you have the definite article before kurios, that means it's Jehovah God. If you have the definite article before theos, That means that's Jehovah God. And there they are both coming out of Thomas's mouth as he's on his knees before the risen Jesus Christ. And how did Jesus respond? Did he respond like the angels who occasionally show up in Scripture and somebody falls down prostrate and they say, oh, no, I'm one of the fellow servants here. Get up. You know, you render service to God alone, not to angels. No, he said, blessed are you, Thomas, that having seen you believe. And blessed even more are those who not having seen believe. That's you and me. When they come up with all of these things like, he's an angel, he's a created being. You go to Colossians, you say, he's before all things, and all things were created by him, and not one thing was created that was not created by him. And you show them where they've put in brackets those things that Paul said were anathema, to add to or detract from the Scriptures. They put in brackets, he is before all other things. Well, why do they put other there? It's because they want to relegate him to the category of things created. They don't believe he's creator. But when you go to John chapter 1, it says he created all things. They were created for him and by him. And not one thing was created that was not created by him. Was that not indication enough for our fellow travelers here on this planet called the Jehovah's Witnesses to recognize that Jesus Christ is Jehovah God to the glory of God the Father? We need to... We need to study to show ourselves approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed. They don't have the truth. They're perishing, going door to door. Be ready in season and out of season to tell them who Jesus is.
Okay. Satiris.
A good testimony, Joe. Praise God. God is good. Before I start my testimony, I'd like to make a confirmation on the word that Carol gave us. We were in Fresno together with Thomas and some other friends. And we were used every morning to go to a worship service. And the worship service started at 6:30 in the morning. And after we left the worship service, we were headed towards the cafeteria where we're going to have the breakfast. And worship does something to you. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. It brings a lot of good things happening when you worship the Lord your God. And as I was coming out of that worship service, tears had come to my eyes. And before long, I started crying without stop. I shared a testimony a while back, but a lot of you have not heard it. And so I pulled to the side and I sat on a bench there so nobody would see me crying. And I started crying for about 10 minutes, nonstop. And what happened, I was delivered from some hurts that I had since my boyhood, losing father and mother, hurts that I did not want to cry. If I cried, I would have been weak. So I lost my father, lost my mother, but I never cried. So a woman one time that was in our church, she says, so dearest, they visit us in our house, and she says to me, so dearest, you have inside you battle a lot of tears. And I agree with her. I know she was right on. And it took, I don't know how many, 15 years or so, no, many more years, about 30, 40 years that this happened. After I came out of the praise and worship, I started crying nonstop. For about 10 minutes I was crying. And this happened after that praise and worship to the Lord. And so that's a confirmation to what you share with us today. So I, this is not my testimony, but I like to share it. The testimony is about what God did in my life. I, as a matter of fact, I didn't want it to be that way. I thought that God will heal me instantly and I will not have to go through this. But I went through that process. God allowed this to go through to all the pain, the suffering and everything, to go through all this and that's God, how God wanted it, and he saw me through all this. But I praise God because that's the way he wanted it, and that's the way it was done, and his hand was upon me. Although the doctors did all the work and everything, God's hand was upon me. And I praise God for that, for his mercy and his grace. And I will prove why God did it and not just the doctors. Of course, God used the doctors. It's because at one time after the operation, coming out of the operation, and I was laying down, nurses gathered all around me. One was touching me here. She says, "Are you all right? You're going to be all right. How you feeling?" And she kept doing it over and over again. And others were working on the computer. I was working there. I was in danger because after it was a shock in my system, and instead of the heartbeat going up, it went down. The blood started going down. So they realized that I was in a danger situation. But I felt good. I didn't. What? Yeah, the operation was a laser operation, which lasted about an hour and a half. And there was a lot of bleeding there during the operation. And so the surgeon used another method, the manual, to clean the whatever was in the prostate, the tissue, the dead tissue, he cleaned it. He did it by hand instead of continuing with a laser. And so I lost a lot of blood, and that's why the girls were in a panic there, that something was going to happen. And so while they were doing that, I said, "Lord, you raise those vital signs. I put everything in your hands, and let your will be done." And so before long, things started coming back to normal, and God touched me there. And it could have been, could have died, but God protected me. So it was wonderful that what God did. And I thought to myself, I should have prayed for those nurses, I mean, that they were in a panic. But praise God, they were right. There was something dangerous going on. So I want to thank you, thank the whole congregation also for your prayers. I know the pastor prayed over and over again. He visited me several times while I was in an emergency. Then emergency second time, then he came to the hospital with Aina together. And plus he kept calling me every day to see how I was. So he stood by me very much so. And everybody else prayed. Lois prayed.
Bob Cadle prayed, and Diane, and they came and visited me one time. Carol prayed, Thomas, and also Michael Burns and his wife prayed. The Torrell family, the young Charles Torrell with his young children, they prayed. So everyone, and if I forgot somebody, Pamela prayed. She even used us one time to go for a ministry to speak to this old lady in a convalescent home, and that was during this trial that I was going through. So everybody here prayed. And it's wonderful when you see one church gathering all together, getting on their knees and interceding to God for Sotiris. It's wonderful, and the same thing happened now with Reggie's sin. So it's a church that cares and spend a lot of time in prayer to see that God will raise me up and God will heal me. I know Monica prayed with Peter, and Joshua prayed, and Jason prayed. Everybody in this body, and Irene with her husband prayed. And everybody, when I was coming to church, how to shake hands, how you doing, how you feeling. And it's wonderful to see how God touched his people and how the people move together and pray for the need of somebody. Because we are part of one body. And if one body hurts, one part of the body hurts, the whole church, the whole body hurts. So I praise God for you, for each and every one of you. And the doctors did a wonderful job as well. The nurses did really care. And plus God gave me the opportunity to lead some people to the Lord while I was in the hospital. So I praise him for that. One lady while I was still visiting the doctors, one lady, after she put me through the ringer for some testing and stuff, I asked her if she wanted to accept Christ, so she accepted Christ in her heart. Another lady that was took care of me in the hospital, after I told her that I would like to speak to you after you finish your work, and so she came, and I spoke with her for about 45 minutes, and she gave her heart to Jesus. Then another two ladies, while we were waiting in the waiting room together with Joanne, they gave the heart to Christ. And so it was wonderful what God did. And they were all invited to come, but so far we haven't seen. But this is what God can do. And even though things don't happen the way we want it to happen, God still did a miracle in my life, and I praise him for that, and I thank each and every one of you for praying. That's my testimony.
Well, we're glad to see you're standing, and I never had a doubt that you would be, so... Okay, we're going to close. Father God, thank you for this day and for these testimonies. And we thank you for many blessings. So we are blessed. We know that you have a plan. And we know that it will be seen through. So we thank you for all things. Thank you for safety on the road, Lord. As we know, it gets crazy out there. So we thank you for your preservation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name.